Last time I spoke here, wow was the sermon title, and it says walking on water, right? Not that wow, which is just like, how inspiring were the worship this morning? Oh, just touched my heart a little bit, very deeply. I'm so blessed to be here. I have to confess, I was sitting there and I felt a little sad because I spoke here a couple of weeks ago and this is kind of over for me, but not for us today. So I'm going to preach till 3 o'clock this afternoon to make up for everything. I have to tell you what happened this morning on my way down to here. So I'm preparing my message, and at some point I'm going to use what's either a rock or a stone. And I didn't know what's the proper English word. So I had this lovely stone. My family's visiting. My kids are home, young adults. They said to me, "Dad, that's a nice one, eh?" I left it at home. Because I wanted to ask you, is this a rock or a stone? I don't know what's the proper English for it. And I didn't have it with me. And so I was driving and I felt a little upset to say, "God, what can I do now?" And I was driving and I was from Ancaster and I was looking if I could find something that I could use. Tiniest little pebbles. That's a good word, right? You know, along the road. And I had to stop somewhere. And when I pulled in to stop, there was not a rock or a stone, but there was this brick. So I just pulled up and I opened the door, no car behind me, leaned down, pick up this brick. So my sermon has changed. My message has changed this morning. It's going to be about the brick. Oh, la la. Is God having fun with us sometimes, right? I think the Father was just smiling. He says, "Garfield, there's something waiting for you down the street. It's okay, you know." Anyway, all righty, where are we? Okay, let me get rid of this. Is there water somewhere? No, I can do without water. Oh, this is so beautiful. What an adventure it is to know the Lord and to serve the Lord, right? Never a dull moment with Him. Alexander ran away. I almost fell off the steps last time when I was speaking here. So now we put a big fat green line here, down here, so that I can stay on this side. Anyway, I'm just going to wait for him to return, because I don't want him to walk in when we begin. How's everybody doing? Well, enjoying the summer? Yeah, a lot of cutting of grass, right? That's what we're doing. that's good. Okay. Woohoo! Quick service. It was carrying this heavy brick around that got me thirsty, you know? Okay. Well, you've all have done that, I'm sure. You have been at a lake or a pond somewhere. Scripture reading first, isn't it? Yes. Friends, okay, let's just settle down. Shh, here we are. Are you ready for the next moment? We read from the Bible, Ephesians chapter 4, and there the Bible says, "Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works of which God prepared us in advance to do." And is there another one, or that's it? That's it. Okay, let's have a short prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, thank you that we can be here. How fun it is to gather, and the joy we feel by waiting in anticipation knowing that you have prepared a word that is suitable for each heart and each life situation, and that you would use my broken language and my mumblings here and transform it to be a work of grace performed by you in every heart this morning. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, friends, you may have done that, I'm sure, or maybe you've seen it, that like you're at a pond or at a lake somewhere, and someone picks up a brick and hurls it into the water, right? And the brick or the stone or the rock would fly, and then once it hits the water, it makes ripples, doesn't it? It's like where it hits the water, right from that center point, you will have these concentric, these circles just rippling out. All because you had taken a rock and threw it into the water. I was thinking that every drop of rain that ever fell into water in creation forever had made these ripples. Have you ever thought of that? How wild that is. And what's so amazing about this ripple is that after it's dropped into the water, it's having an effect, an impact on where it landed. Because there might be a duck on the water, and the duck will start doing this on the water, right? And as the rock sinks into the water, or the brick, there might be some fish swimming around, or a snapping turtle, and it has to, whoa, what's this? You know, what's happening here? And the lilies on the water would change. And the miracle is that you are somehow linked, tied to the ripples and to the ducks and the fish and the snapping turtles and the lilies, all because you have made an impact with a huge impact that is made because of a simple action you have done. We call that a ripple effect. So every time you hear the word ripple this morning, you should think impact, okay? What will you think when you hear the word ripple? Thank you. Aubrey taught you well. You're a good class here. So, okay, there we are. Now, the amazing thing is that when we throw something into water, it has a ripple effect and it affects nature. But people also can have a similar impact on us. Isn't it so? A person might make a tiny little deed, just do something small, not knowing of the ripple effect, the domino effect that could have in a life. I want to share with you the impact someone has had on my life. And I suspect you know him well. His name is Aubrey Botha. Know Aubrey for decades, stayed with us when came to Canada, drove him to the church to be interviewed everywhere. You know what? The times we spent laughing and personal growth, reflecting with him on culture, life, death. Impact Aubrey's had on my ministry, you know, my personal growth, my understanding of being church in this world. Huge, huge. He doesn't know, right? When you throw that stone in the water, you have no idea of what's going to be impacted by that. And likewise, Aubrey has impacted my ministry and my way of serving God and wanting to be a useful instrument of the Lord in His hands. And I thank Aubrey with all my heart that God has dropped him into my world that has made that impact. I think, though, as I'm speaking, you're sitting there and thinking, yeah, but that's true of me too, right? Because Aubrey also plunged into your world. Now, sometimes Aubrey makes waves. He doesn't only make ripples only, but he makes waves sometimes. And that's why we love him, right? But Aubrey has impacted your world. And I think there's a word we could use for that kind of a person. I think we... You know you want to know what that word is, right? That word is this. It's a word that describes the impact Aubrey's had on our lives. We may call him a ripple maker. A ripple maker. An impact maker. Because that's what ripple means. ripple makers. Ripple makers. When we turn to the Bible, we, interestingly enough, we see the same thing happens there. The last words of Jesus, and therefore very crucial words from the lips of Jesus. Acts 1, we read, verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up in a cloud. Okay, so it was Jesus' last words, therefore crucial words. Let me just say that I think one's final words are really crucial. My dad's final words when he died was, "Oh, this is wonderful." You remember? So, it impacted me. And that same dad came to my room one night, and he said, "Garfield, I need to talk with you because they discovered some heart condition, and I'm not sure if it's going to be fatal and what it is." And my dad talked with me as if that was the very last words that we would ever share. Crucial, but family and guardrails for life, values of life, serving Jesus, you know? Because it was his last words, but it was not. But here we have the final words of Jesus, and Jesus says the following: "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Do you see the ripple effect? That what happened in Jerusalem will have impact, will have ripples, and it will flow from Jerusalem to Judea and then to Samaria. And in the end, it will be from the one continent to the other continent, and it will cross the oceans, and that ripples would reach our continent. And the ripples of what happened in Jerusalem, that impactful event, will flood into Cambridge and to your home. And it even rippled and impacted my heart. And I pray that it's touched your heart as well. Ripple effect. So we have to ask, wow, why is this so important? We know what it is, events that have impact. Why is it important? What is behind this? Maybe we should say, who is behind this? God is behind it. So I have an earthly father, but we have also a heavenly father. God has created this world because he loved this world. And God has created this world knowing that what would be best for this world is that for this world to know him and to serve him and to love him. Oh, that's by far the best for this world that God has created. How will we get to know God and love him and serve him? And I hope you find him even today. We get to know him and be able to build a relationship with him, because 2,000 years ago, God, if we could use his words, dropped the rock of ages. He dropped Jesus into this broken world, this dark world. And he dropped him to this world. And this world, I'm getting ahead of myself. This is all good. I'm still where I have to be here. But there we are. Change it. So he dropped the rock of ages. And Jesus landed in this pool of humankind. This, get that? You know? Now, what does this world look like that was Jesus was born into? The Apostle Paul, in Ephesians we read, he describes the world for us. And this is important because you see, when us as church people, when we think about the world, we kind of assume we're the good guys, aren't we? They're like bad. Sometimes we can be very judgmental about the world. But the Apostle Paul talks to the church, and he says, guys, here is a reality check. Look in the mirror, and you might not like what you see. Just behold the world Jesus was born into. Are you ready for this? Fasten your seatbelts. Paul writes to a church, "For once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world." That's where we come from. Obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. Paul says, the Bible says, all of us used to have that kind of a heart. I'll make it personal. Then I'm not pointing a finger at you. That is true of me. This is true of me. All of this, all of us, I used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So Paul is just saying, I want this world to know me. But for the world to have a relationship with me, I needed to drop Jesus, the Redeemer, in that ugly kind of a world to save them from all of this and get what was God's secret weapon. Guess what was the one thing that was so impactful that it could lift the Garfields and the Aubreys and the Alexanders from that dark place and bring us into a relationship with Him. You know what God's secret weapon is? We are saved by grace. By grace. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. You can sing with me. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And why? Because friends, 2,000 years ago, a cross thudded into the soil of a hill called Calvary. And the ripples of grace that has reached from there, and the stone that was rolled away from the stone. I can hear that stone that crunched on the earth to let Jesus out, you know, alive. The rumblings and reverberations and ripples and impact of that event. Grace is the instrument that God uses to impact and change this world. And when our eyes are opened, we look upon Jesus. And He says, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And now we know what's in the heart of God. And we know how God feels about lost people because we see it in Jesus. Talk about ripple makers. Why? Because God wants to impact this world. Hang with me. Here we are, 2,000 years later. 2,000 years ago, God gave grace to us through Jesus. But Jesus is not among us anymore in person. But we are the body of Christ. And God now wants to give grace to others through us. He releases grace to us through Jesus. But today, God wants to have an impact on this world. And He will do it through you and me, or you and I never know which one's the right one, having an impact because we will become givers of grace. And as we give grace, we shall make an impact on this world. Grace is God's secret weapon to make an impact on this world. I find that a little bit of an intimidating idea. It's a little bit overwhelming. That God considers me good enough. That He could use me, you know, to touch a life, to change a life. That God would give grace to a world, to people who don't deserve it, and He wants to do it through people who don't deserve it. But that's the miracle of the church, that we needn't be perfect for God to be able to use us, you see. Because grace is the weapon. And grace makes us real and authentic and just human. The world don't need perfect people that are so tight they squeak when they walk. Some Christians are like that, right? Because it's off-putting. And it would not work. Can I tell you a secret? One of the biggest, beautifulest moments in my spiritual walk was the day when God has freed me to be weak. I don't have to be strong. I don't have to be Superman. I don't have to be the answer guy. I don't have to be Mr. Know-it-all. I don't have to be the brilliant whatever. We are God's handiwork. And God has shaped you and gave you a personality with your quirks and your things. And Aubrey has some too, by the way, like I have. You know? But that does not make us less useful. God wants to drop you for who you are. Into your broken world with your brokenness. Because the force of change and impact is the grace that you will be sharing. Coming alongside of a person inside of the church when you encourage someone. You see, God did not create us to be ornaments, looking pretty, smelling nice, I hope, whatever, you know. He made us to be instruments that He could use us. And when you and I give hope and share a prayer and affirm a person and encourage someone, God then uses us and my encouragement, and He becomes a force that would change that person. And the person would say, well, Garfield, thank you. God touched my life through you. You see? Aubrey, God is at work through Aubrey. And as Aubrey is a grace giver to you, it's God at work through him and even through me. There was a horrible war in Africa. Mozambican Civil War. In 1990, Mozambique was, according to the United Nations, the poorest country in the world. There was a refugee camp on the border of South Africa and Mozambique. And I went to that refugee camp. Broke my heart. Families, children. And the one night I had to share a little hut. Grass roof and mud walls. Hard, solid floor. I had to spend the night with David Bliss, who was a missionary working amongst those refugees. And we were so tired, and it was so dark, and we stumbled into this little hut. And in the one corner was this thin layer of tall grass that was cut from the African fields. And David Bliss says, Garfield, you sleep there. He slept in the dust. I couldn't sleep. You see, he was giving grace to me. He was like Jesus to me. Next morning, he would jump up. Life goes on. You know? But the ripple effect, the impact that simple deed of a not perfect man has had, letting me have a softer sleep that night. Here we are, 1990. How many years ago was that? Like 30-some years. And the ripples, the impact of that event is still flowing even into this room here in Canada. And I pray that it will inspire your heart, that you will discover what God will be able to do through you. So it doesn't matter how young you are or even how old you are. You are useful. You can be useful in the hands of the Lord. Jesus changed lives through grace, and He wants to do through same through us. Let me just say this again. God uses us who don't deserve it to impact the lives of those who don't deserve us. Giving grace, giving grace. And I believe, friends, the fall is coming back to normal. And this is my burden that I felt for the church this morning. That we would clearly understand what God wants for us. God wants Central Church, Easter people, alive in God, to have an impact on our community, inside and outside of this church. God wants you to be a ripple maker, an impact haver, a bringer of change in the world. That's the what. Why? Because God knows and He yearns for people to know Him, because He knows that will be the best for every person in this world, is just to know Him. Through the week in my quiet time, I read a scripture from, I think it's 1 Kings. It says there is no king in the land, and therefore people follow their own hearts and they do whatever they want. I think that's part of the problem in our world. There's no king anymore, and we just follow our own hearts, right? And it hurts God because He's no, that's not the best plan. So what? Ripple makers we need to be, impact havers, each one of us. Why? Because God so yearns for the world to have a relationship with Him. But how? Simply by you and I being and becoming grace givers. Practically, giving grace, expressing forgiveness, pray for people, encourage them, so that when Aubrey comes back, he will walk in the door and goes like, whoa, hit by a wave of grace and kindness and affirmation and support and hope and prayer flowing from Central, a community of ripple makers and grace givers, impacting the lives of others through even the smallest actions done by much love and through grace. You see it? Shall I start over again? You get it? I so pray that the Spirit will use these new images to inspire you and lift this church to be His people, instruments of grace forever. You know how we get into a swimming pool? Some people put the little toe in and like, and they never enjoy the swim. Other people just run and go like, cannonball, splash. And that's how you make ripples. So would you join me? Let's run for the pool and for the pond, this world we live in. And let's just go like cannonball and we launch it there and make you have a big splash in your world for the sake of Jesus. Okay, amen. Gracious Father, we understand that image so well. We see it in the Jerusalem and in the Judea. And your grace that has saved us from that ugly, dark, deep place of lostness and brought us into your life, into your light, through this incredible secret weapon of power, Lord, your almighty power of grace at work through Jesus. But Jesus is not on this earth any longer in person. And now you want to give grace to this world and have an impact and make ripples and waves in this world through Central Church, giving grace upon grace upon grace. People who don't deserve it, sharing your grace with people who don't deserve it. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.